Fired up. What's up, boys and girls? It's Chuck Morrison here from MakingMountainsMove.com. And man, I am excited for today's show. We've got a special guest. Bob Wheeler is his name. We're going to go to the line with him in just a second here. But just to preview, Bob is the author of The Money Nerve. This book comes with my highest recommendation. This guy just gets it. He's an awesome action taker, a certified CPA working out in L.A. He's a comedian, a mountain climber. He's climbed Everest, a marathon runner, just a mountain mover, as we like to say. He's got a pretty cool story, but beyond that, he's also got some pretty good advice to really help someone make some positive change in their life to live that abundant lifestyle. And that's something we talk a lot about here on these airwaves, you know, about living life on your terms. And let's call a spade here, the elephant in the room, money's a part of that. So Bob, as a money expert, has really kind of laid a solid foundation here to help folks from all walks of life, again, to make some positive changes in their life, right, through their behaviors, through their actions, to start doing things today, simple things, by the way, as you'll hear, to start making those positive changes, those abundant changes. So without further ado, here's the interview with myself and Bob Wheeler, the author of The Money Nerve, found at themoneynerve.com. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome into another edition of the Making Mountains Move radio show. My name is Chuck Morrison, your host with the most, and I am so fired up today, ladies and gentlemen. We have a tremendous guest with a wealth of knowledge to help you get out there, move those mountains, and live life on your terms. That is the name of the game. So with us today, without any further delay, we have Bob Wheeler. Bob is a certified CPA out practicing in Los Angeles. Just a little bit about Bob here, and we'll let him share his story. Bob Wheeler has heard countless stories of financial shame and pain from his clients time and time again for the 25 years that he's been practicing public accounting, hearing similar themes from so many clients, no matter their socioeconomic level. Bob was motivated to help people find a new path in life, to change their feelings of anger, hurt, and shame into feelings of gratitude, hopefulness, and to move people into a place of proactive abundance, a place where they define how and when they will make financial decisions, that purposeful intention and shift in attitude, which can remove that pinched money nerve, which we'll be talking about, and create a healthy relationship with money. Bob Wheeler, thank you so much for joining us here on the Triple M Movement, my friend.
Thank you, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. So, hey, listen, here's how we'd like to roll a little bit on this show. Get to know folks a little bit better, you know, starting with your story. You know, maybe where you came from, where you grew up, kind of your journey in life, some of the things that you've been involved with. I don't want to take too much of your thunder here, Bob, but I know you've been active in comedy, mountain climbing, marathon running, CPA. You're a public speaker, man. You're doing it all. So if you would, you know, take us back in time here a little bit about who is Bob Wheeler?
Sure, absolutely. Well, thanks. I don't know that I have much thunder, but you know, I grew up in Tennessee, and I decided that I wanted to be an accountant because it was practical and it was something that I could measure. And I actually got into accounting surprisingly so that I actually wouldn't have to talk to people that much. That was my initial my escape from having to deal with communications and all that stuff. And I got really good at what I was doing, apparently, and I was forced to communicate with more people. And a couple of things happened. Along the way, I noticed that as much as I was having more success, people around me that had seemingly less success were being actually more successful in terms of money and stuff. And so I really had to take a look and say, gee, I'm making really good money. I'm in a profession that people respect, and yet I'm constantly broke. I'm constantly sabotaging myself. What's going on? And so that's where I started doing my personal journey of trying to figure out what were my sabotages and all that stuff, and which sort of led me to where I am today. And then along the way, I started traveling, basically what I did was everything that I had a fear of, I made a list and said, okay, that's next. And I just started going through my list of fears and doing them even though I was scared. So I started traveling. I started doing mountain climbing. I started doing stand-up comedy. I started martial arts and really just jumped into everything that terrified me. And I found that I didn't die. And that was really my motivation was, is this going to kill me or am I going to survive?
Let's take a time out.
I just
I'm sorry, Bob. I'm sorry, because this is great stuff right here. You're talking about embracing your fears and really being a catalyst for change. If you could maybe just give us a glimpse into that for just a moment here and how that served you, you know, in life to just kind of confront and face your fears head on to really make some dramatic changes. How did that serve you? And what was it like to kind of acknowledge those fears?
Well, you know, the way that it served me was I knew that if I didn't do something, then I was just going to sit back and be small. And I was really the only obstacle in my way. Mm-hmm. So it was a choice of, do I want to continue to be small, or do I really want to start to be the person that I believed that I was? And was I willing to just be uncomfortable for a while? So the fear has served me, because whenever I start having something that I'm really afraid of, I decide, well, that's my next mountain. Because the fear is a great motivator for me. It's an indicator of, here's something I haven't wanted to deal with. And it just gives me an opportunity to jump in and explore it and hopefully survive it.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. So here you are. You've embraced many different fears, from mountain climbing to professional, you know, kind of going for it, you know, going for your dream. But not only your dream, Bob, but to live that abundant life. What were some of the initial things that you did in terms of change?
Well, the first thing I had to do was to be willing to make some changes and be willing to actually accept what was currently going on in my life. In other words, I had to take a personal inventory and actually be honest about what I was doing or what I wasn't doing. And I think that's a really painful part, I think, for a lot of people, to actually own up to the fact that, oh, maybe I don't do these things, or maybe I actually do this stuff right here to self-sabotage. And so having to really own that. And then I think, you know, just really willing to make the commitment, mm-hmm. and willing to have the intention and willing to be conscious. And that part's not the fun part sometimes, being conscious, but I didn't want to be a victim's circumstance. I wanted to be proactive in how my life turned out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people kind of have a hard time sometimes facing the reality of things, not realizing that it's facing those adversities, those challenges, those obstacles, those setbacks that can really be empowering to recognize, you know, where you currently are, because it's very difficult to get somewhere if you don't know where you're starting from. And you really, you know, I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but Bob, you've got an amazing book out there right now called The Money Nerve. It's available on Amazon. You can find it online at your website. It's themoneynerve.com, correct? Is that right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's called The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. And guys, it's a great read. I read it in about 2 hours, and I'm a pretty slow reader. It's just concise to the point, and it's actionable, you know, which I really appreciate, Bob, as an avid reader myself, when there's actually instruction in there to, put theory into plan, if you will. But going back to this notion of, you know, facing adversities and facing fears, in your experience, can people really overcome their fears and outdated beliefs about money?
Absolutely. It takes a willingness to look at it, mm-hmm. and it takes a willingness to be uncomfortable. And a lot of people just stop short of that. They get going a little bit and they say, this is really painful. I think I'm done. Mm. And it's tough being conscious. It's not always fun. Sometimes it'd be nice not to know the truth about our money situation, or the truth about something that we really fear, or not wanting to have a confrontation or set a boundary. But to me, there's no other way to do it. Otherwise, I just get to use the story that I'm a victim. And I think that's what a lot of people, I see that a lot these days, is people always tell me how it's an outside source that has done this to them, and they don't have to take any responsibility in their current situation.
Right. I love how you put it in your book, where, you know, it's very difficult to lie to an accountant, you know, and if you're playing the blame game, and, you know, it's my boss, or it's the economy, or it's this or that, you know, the numbers typically don't lie. And I just find the humor in your book very enlightening to, you know, listen, we're all real people here. We all face the same challenges. And once you accept self-responsibility for where you are, recognizing, you know, as far as money management goes, what's coming in, having a clear, concise, you know, outline of your expenses and your income so you can know truly what's going on, you know, and be honest about it. Something you talked about, Bob, which is just, it's really just a defining point, in my opinion, which is, you know, this comfort zone. I once heard that your income level is directly tied to your comfort level. And if you want to grow your income, well, that requires getting uncomfortable sometimes and really right. stretching and growing yourself. Do you agree to that concept?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you stay comfortable, then you'll stay exactly where you are. There's no motivation. And we have to get uncomfortable if we want to change. I mean, it's so indicative all out through nature. There's got to be a struggle. And there's got to be there's got to be some uncomfortableness, and then you have growth.
Mm-hmm. What, as far as advice goes, because in our audience, Bob, we have a lot of people looking for more money, more freedom, more time, more happiness, more purpose. But in relation to our conversation today, you know, being a CPA, let's talk about money a little bit. What are some things that people can do to start to get uncomfortable and really start to make some positive changes in their life to get into that place of, and I love the way you put this, proactive abundance?
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, thanks. The reason I say that is because we have to participate in our life and we have to participate where it's going. So it's not waiting for us to win the lottery ticket, but let's go out and generate some money or generate what we want. So the thing that I like to do with people to get them started is, and I talk about this in the book, is really get just as simple as starting to just record the money that comes in and out on a daily basis. Spending money for the candy bar, spending money for a bottle of booze or buying a new pair of shoes. And again, it's really about being curious. I don't like for people to be real judgmental about what they're doing. I just want people to find, wow, isn't that curious that I love to overdraw my bank account? Or isn't that curious that I never have money at the end of the week? Boy, I sure like to do that. I'm really curious, because then we can like start to, you know, dig in and find out really what's going on. And if we can at least start to see where the money's coming in and coming and going out, we can then stop lying to ourselves that, oh, gee, there's no money coming in, because actually I just took it and I spent it on a trip to Vegas that I wasn't planning on, or an impulse buy. And the thing, again, it's really about just getting honest with yourself. It's not being about judgmental, and it's really just being curious and willing to say, I want something different. And again, I've had people say, are you telling me that I can't go out and impulse shop if it makes me feel good? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying do it consciously so that you can't have a story about how you've been a victim because your money got taken away to a department store. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great stuff. And you know what else I appreciate, Bob? And it's maybe a nice segue here. What are your thoughts on saving? You know, you always hear that you should pay yourself first, that saving's important. And I, one of the key takeaways that I took away from your book was, let's say you set a budget for lunch, for example, and that budget's $25. You know, do you find yourself spending the full, you know, capacity of that $25, or are you practicing that habit of saving by not spending the full 25? And Bob, it was such a self-reflection for me to say, oh my God, you know, if I set myself any kind of budget, that budget's getting spent. I never, you know, for myself, it's such an awakening to say, gosh, Chuck, there's an opportunity here to, you know, do you really have to spend the full 25 and to really embrace and practice saving in different capacities of your spending habits. So what are your thoughts on saving? And you know, Bob, myself, I've been in credit card debt before and I've got myself out of it. And I'm interested to hear your take about, you know, if because I hear this question myself in my situation, people will sometimes ask, is it better to pay off my debt or is it better to save? And I'm interested to get your take on that.
Yeah. So my answer is both. And the reason I say both is, yes, it's important to pay down the credit card debt. And it's also important to establish a new habit. And savings is one of those things that I have so many clients that tell me, as soon as I get this big bonus, I'm going to start my savings plan. Yeah. As soon as I get the raise, I'm going to take that certain amount and I'm going to start saving. As soon as, and there's all these contingency plans of when this and that happens, I'm going to start saving. And it never happens. And so for me, if I can get a client or somebody to start saving $10, $20, and just get in the habit of, oh, I put away $10 for a rainy day. And what I find is, as people start to do that and consistently take out the $10, they'll start to say, gee, I think I could do 20. 10 sounds so cheap. Let me bump that up a little bit. And then 20, it's easier to get to 30. And all of a sudden, you start to have a snowball effect because you've started this new habit. So it's important to pay down the debt. And once you're on this path of starting to save, really stop using the credit cards. Maybe use a debit card instead of a credit card so that at least you can only use the money that you have instead of using borrowed money.
Yeah.
And it's really just really important to be able to do both.
I love that.
It's about creating new habits.
Yeah. Yeah. Another common question, Bob, tied to that is, what about folks on fixed income? You know, I find it kind of under that victim mentality or that excuse mentality. Well, I'm under a fixed income. I can't afford to save, which I think is nonsense. But ultimately, you know, here's a double-edged question for you, Bob. Can a person have an abundant life? Can they save, start saving, if they're on a fixed income, if they're only, saying, making $35,000, $40,000 a year? Does that mean that, you know, is abundant out of their reach? Abundance out of their reach?
Not at all. It's amazing. There's been so many stories, and I talk about it in the book as well, but there have been stories of janitors and people that are making $30,000 a year, and when they die, they leave $500,000, $1 million to a college or to their family. And people say, oh my gosh, I didn't even know they had that kind of money. Because the thing is, abundance is really a state of mind. We all think we have to have 6 flat screen TVs and the smartest smartphone and the newest, fanciest car. And that's sort of this false running and chasing the carrot that we're never going to catch. So to me, it's really being able to look at what I'm making and learning to live within that means, and actually seeing all the good things that I have, even within that limitation of the $30,000 or $40,000. And when you actually work on a budget and see what you have, even somebody making $30,000 or $40,000, which may not sound like a lot to some folks, you can look at that budget and say, gee, do I really need to be spending $200 a month on cable? Maybe I could cut back on that. Or maybe I don't need to be spending over here. And you can always find places to shave off. It's just a lot of people feel like, and the media really supports this, is that I must have it now and I shouldn't have to wait for it. There's no such thing as delayed gratification, and I should have whatever I want now and should be able to feed that impulse.
Yeah, it's so true. And in fact, one of the references you made in your book was when you were kind of in the market for a new flat screen TV, and you know, you had planned for it, you had budgeted for it, and while you're in the store, this couple is there making that impulse decision. I think it was $3,500 they spent on a new TV, just, you know, in the spur of the moment. It's that instant gratification, you know?
And that's the thing. I mean, it's so funny. I actually just, this happened to me the other day, just the point of where we feel like what we have isn't, you know, we have to have exactly what we want. I had a situation where I got an email. It just went out to people in the neighborhood saying, hey, if anybody knows of a 4-bedroom house available for rent, this family, their house just burned down and they're looking for a new house to rent, at least while they get on their feet. And so I knew that the house next door to me was available. So I sent an email. I said, hey, you know, the house next door to me is available for rent. And they wrote back and they said, excuse me, that's a 3-bedroom. We said 4-bedroom. And I said, I'm sorry. I thought you just said you were in an emergency situation and you were just trying to have a roof over your head, you know? So
it's priorities.
It's
priorities. And I think a lot of times, Bob, and I think you'd agree that people just have, maybe they're not aware of their priorities. You know, you often hear people say, oh, I'm broke or I can't afford this. But when you look at their decisions, right, when you look at their actions, clearly they have exactly what they want. Clearly they are exactly where they want to be. Otherwise, right, like to your point.
Otherwise, that's exactly right. You're exactly where you want to be, or you would change.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, and it's interesting when you talk about fixed income too. I have people say, oh, this is all that I make. Well, you could take your recyclables and get cash. You could take a side job. There's so many ways that you could actually supplement your income. But most people will say, no, I know to that. I'm not going to do that. I ask a lot of people, if you see a penny, will you pick it up? A lot of people say, I'm not going to waste my time with a penny. I said, well, what if I give you 1,000,000 pennies? And they, oh, okay. So to me, when I turn down a penny, I'm turning down opportunity that didn't look the way I thought it should look. So so a lot of people turn away opportunity because it wasn't defined exactly the way that they thought it should look.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Let's do this, Bob. This is awesome, man. And again, we're talking with Bob Wheeler. He's the author of The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. It's available on Amazon.com. You can also go to his website, themoneynerve.com. Bob is a CPA out of L.A. We're very thrilled to have him here with us and hopefully help our audience, you know, embrace that positive change to get into that place of proactive abundance. And speaking of that, Bob, let's talk about the path a little bit. You know, first off, what is the money nerve? What is a money nerve?
So money nerve, to me, that's that place, and everybody has it somewhere different. When something happens, your credit card gets declined, you don't get the house that you made the offer on, something happened, you don't have cash when you're ponying up at a party or something, and you don't have the money to split out. It's any of those financial situations where you feel that little twinge of pain, or maybe your shoulders droop down, or the pit in the stomach. I mean, people have heart attacks, people have ulcers because they're just holding so much in their body, and that's an indication of a money nerve, because it's physically in our body, those reactions. And if you think about it, you know, you might have had a financial situation where it didn't go the way you wanted, and somewhere in your body you felt it, and you may have changed your mood. It may have changed your posture. Yeah. And that's where, you know, that's the money nerve, is where is it hitting you in your body? So where are you feeling it?
Okay. So it's physical. It's physical.
It's physical.
Yeah. And once, you know, once you identify what your personal money nerve is, or maybe there's different money nerves, pluralized.
Right. Absolutely.
What's the next step? I mean, once you identify that, okay, this is a trigger here.
Right. So then what you want to do is, it doesn't mean that you may ever get rid of that trigger, but then you may find ways to mitigate it. So, for example, if I go to the store and my credit card gets declined, and now I'm embarrassed because there's 10 people in the line behind me, and then I turn to the clerk and say, "You're so stupid. How could you do this to me? My credit card's good." And then I just start making them really bad. I make them really wrong, and I just embarrass everybody, and then I storm out so that I can feel like I walked away with my pride. And then maybe I can take a look at that and say, gee, I get really angry when I'm in a financial situation that makes me uncomfortable. So that maybe the next time that happens, I might, if I know that's going to happen, I might call and check and make sure my credit card's got a balance on it before I use it. Mm-hmm. I might, instead of screaming at the clerk, just say, there must be some problem. Can I just step out of line and make a phone call, or find ways that aren't going to put you in a reactive situation, but where you're actually in control and you know that, gee, I'm triggered by this and this really hits me in my gut. So let me do something that's going to minimize that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And be proactive to the situation to avoid it from happening in the future. Right. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, so if you're, let's say you are a terrible negotiator and you've been taken advantage of the last three times you bought a car. Well, then the next time you go buy a car, you know you're a bad negotiator. You know you don't like to confront people. Find a friend who loves to negotiate, who loves to fight with the salespeople on a price, and you take them with you so that you've got a partner. Find support in the places where you're weak, or you know, or not strong, and then go in with that team-like effort so that you're not, again, being run by your emotions.
That's awesome stuff. I mean, that's awesome. And to summarize a little bit here, you know, we kind of led off talking about embracing your fears and whatnot, and now we're kind of talking about, you know, embracing these money nerves, these situations that can repeatedly be occurring in one's life, and here are some actionable steps to really turn that around. And Bob, I know you're big about planning, right? You're really an actionable guy. You're clearly an action taker yourself. what's kind of heading that direction a little bit? And I know you're big into visualization and really kind of embracing one's dream. What are your thoughts kind of on, you know, I know there's two different types of mapping, and again, I don't want to steal your thunder here, but talk a little bit about kind of, you know, embracing one's dream. You know, maybe they're feeling confronted or stuck where they presently are. All right, I have these money nerves, Bob, you know, it's holding me back, and this is great advice, but can I really get to where I want to be? What are some steps that, you know, they may be able to take to go towards that dream? And maybe they haven't even identified it.
Right. So there's a couple of different things. One of the things is I want to know what my – I like people to free flow write or speak out their dreams and their goals and their wants to start to get a sense of some of the stuff they want. And getting down on paper, I may list down 20 things. Three of them might be actually what my parents want. But at the moment, I think they're mine. And I try to get all that on paper so I can start to look at that and see it and say, yeah, that's what I want, or that's not really what I want. And once I can know where my destination is, so let's say I want to go from LA to New York. So I know that New York is my dream. Then I need to take a look at where am I currently. So I'm in LA. And how do I get from LA to New York? So I could go by car, I could take a pony, I could walk, I could take a train, right? There's different ways that I could get there. And then depending on what my needs are, do I need to be there tomorrow? Do I want to take a scenic route? Do I want to be able to travel slowly and just go at my own pace? Trying to figure out all those things that are going to satisfy me personally to then make that goal of getting to New York. Mm-hmm. And so it's really that combination. And then the planning part is saying, okay, so I want to go to New York and I want to fly. And a ticket's going to cost me $700. And I'm going to have to get a taxi to get me to the airport. And then I'm needing to buy some luggage so I can get my clothes in there. And then when I get there, I'm going to need a hotel. And so actually starting to figure out all the components of what makes up the financial aspect of that dream. So like I had a client who said, I want to have my own music studio. I want to write music and that's what I want to do. I said, okay, great. When do you want to accomplish this by? She said, 6 months. I said, okay, great. And how much is it going to cost you? She said, about $10,000. I said, okay. And how much can you put away right now? She said, about $300 a month. Mm. And I said, okay, well, mathematically, that's not going to work.
Right.
She went, oh. So she was setting unrealistic expectations and then getting upset with herself that she was always failing instead of actually doing the math.
Yeah.
And then we worked it out. And I like people working in teams. So I like people to work in groups of two or three when I do workshops. And so I said to her, what's that $10,000 made up of? She said, oh, I need $6,000 for new computers. And I said, okay, well, you know, you can actually buy refurbished computers for about $1,500. And somebody in the group said, yeah, I do it all the time. I do music and I buy used refurbished computers from Apple. So she said, oh my gosh, now it just went from 10. It just dropped significantly. So
yeah,
we actually started working out all the components, and she realized within the next year, she'll actually be able to have that music studio that she didn't think she could ever do.
That's
because she kept using unrealistic numbers.
Yeah. And the other component to that, Bob, is the intimacy. And what I mean by that is her support group, if you will. You know, the people that she's surrounding herself with. And I know you allude to that many times in your book about, you know, surrounding yourself with good people, you know, mentors,
absolutely,
advisors, whether in the form of physical people, whether that's a friend or maybe not within your inner circle or inner network, you know, looking for experts in a particular field or, you know, even through books, CDs, the library, study. There's a lot of different ways that one can really, you know, surround themselves with. That's a perfect example. I mean, she was able to literally cut her budget in half just by being in the right place with the right people.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the interesting thing that I find when I do workshops, when I go and do presentations, and even within my, and the whole reason I actually wrote the book was because I kept hearing this from my clients. And I had people in tears telling me, I'm the only one who doesn't have their finances together. And if people knew how stupid I was, they'd be so embarrassed to know me. And I kept saying, you know, almost everybody in the room struggling with the money just like you are. No, no, no. My parents told me I'm such an idiot and I'm the only one. I said, well, I mean, I know you can't get new parents, but I think I talk to them a little bit less. because that's the thing is, a lot of people think they're the only one. And once I get people in a room and they start finding out that other people have similar problems, they actually start feeling the camaraderie of, I'm not in this alone.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing is then start, you know, when I do a workshop, I'll say, now look around. You've just met all these new people and you just found out you have some stuff in common. So now the next time you're in a pinch, look out and reach for some support, because there are people out there that will support you, and then you can offer them your support.
That's awesome. It's brilliant. And it's so simple, too. I mean, I really believe
it's
that
simple. You know,
the most profound changes in life are simple. But it, oftentimes, and I know you made this analogy yourself, and you are a runner, correct, Bob? I mean, you've run narrowly. Yeah. So I once heard as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, that building a business is a lot like running. And I've never run a marathon myself, but they say typically for a marathon, if you're going to run one and you've never run before, you should train for at least 2 years, you know, just to get yourself physically, emotionally, and, you know, prepared for such a task. But when you run, and Bob, you would probably know this a lot better than I, but I love this analogy, and I think it relates to budgeting well, managing money well, and really creating an abundant lifestyle, is not to have it all, you know, you don't have to have it all figured out. It's just one step at a time, and if you don't know all the steps, they'll reveal themselves as you embrace upon that journey.
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing is, most people want to jump from A to Z without doing the rest of the alphabet in between. And that's our culture. It says you can get to the mountaintop now, but you actually have to get there by taking one step at a time. And with running, mountain climbing, that's exactly the story. I mean, this really happened the last time I went to base camp at Everest. I had three friends with me, and the first day it was so daunting. Everybody said, "Gee, we didn't realize it was going to be this hard. Let's just quit." And of course, I was not going to take quitting as an answer. And I said, basically, look, let's just hike for 1 hour and then let's reevaluate in an hour. And so we ended up hiking 8 1-hour hikes that first day. And each day, that's what we did. We didn't negotiate, we're going to hike for 8 hours. We're going to hike every hour and then redetermine if that's what we want to keep doing. And it made it a lot more palatable. And we made it to the base camp of Everest.
That's awesome. Wow. What an accomplishment. And amazing how you did it. You simplified the process. You chunked it out. You know, you knew the destination, and that's incredible, Bob. I mean, again, folks, if you're wanting that change, I can't recommend this book highly enough. Again, I have notes taken, a lot of highlights in here. It's a quick read, which I appreciate as someone that likes to read, and it's because it's concise, it's to the point, and it's actionable. You know, at the end of each chapter, you have a call to action, you know, really helping people that it's not theory, that this stuff works, and it's, you know, a culmination of a variety of different steps that will help you get to your destination, that will help to get to your journey. Bob, I know your time's valuable. What other thoughts would you like to leave with folks that, again, you know, listen, who doesn't want more money in their life? Who doesn't want more abundance in their life? More, you know, more, as I like to say. What are some actionable things that maybe you can leave our audience with that they can do today from where they are, regardless if they're on a fixed budget or, you know, they're waiting for that big commission check or that lottery check? What are some things that people can do right now in their current positions to start making that positive change, wherein, you know, 6 months from now, they can look back and say, you know what? Oh my God, this is amazing. I am making positive changes, and they can actually see that.
Yeah. Well, the very first thing I think people have to do is say, I'm willing and I'm willing to do the work. I'm making the commitment right now that I actually want to change in my life. Because if we're not willing to make that commitment to the change, we're just going to stay comfortable. So to me, the first thing is getting people to make that commitment to themselves and really, like, knowing that it's not going to be easy, but making that commitment. Then the second thing is to really start looking at the budget and start looking at where the money's going and deciding if you can make any adjustments there. And the third thing I would say is start putting $10 away. I like using internet banks or banks that are little community banks or credit unions where I can't go and get the money immediately, so that when I'm putting it away, it's like a real effort for me to go and get it.
Yeah.
Instead of just it transfers over. And I think if you're willing to make that commitment, if you're willing to do an honest budget and put down the things you don't want anybody to know about, and then you're willing to start saving some money, it'll really do a mind shift for you. It's really that simple. And like you said, it is simple. And I've had people at the end of a workshop say, "That's so simple. We just figured this out in 15 minutes. By the fourth week, we figured this out in 15 minutes. But that's the truth of it. It really can be that simple. It's most of us get overwhelmed really quickly, which is also why the book is not a 10-hour read or it's not a Gone with the Wind novel, because I have like a 20-minute window to get people's attention, because this is a really hot topic for people and they get really emotionally charged. They get depressed. They start to tell themselves they can't do anything. And it's really, it's baby step, baby step, baby step.
Yeah.
And be willing to move forward.
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, great stuff, Bob. Again, I can't thank you enough for reaching out to us, for coming on the show here, for sharing a lot of your insights, and just for being an awesome individual, man. We'd love to have you back on again soon. And again, the book is The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. I can't recommend this enough. It's, again, it's a great read. It's a quick read. It's actionable. And Bob, I'll tell you, man, personally, I've walked away with more than a few golden nuggets that I'm excited to put into practice because, you know, listen, I'm not perfect by any stretch. I admit my flaws. I'm always, you know, striving to be better and, you know, not afraid to look at my mistakes. And again, one of my favorite takeaways was, you know, when it comes down to saving is to manage the budget more. And also this, you mentioned your budget. I really appreciated the fact about being honest with your spending. You know, if I'm going out for a drink with the boys or whatever, and am I really putting that into my spending? And it's typically not there. So be honest about everything.
Right.
That's so key. So key.
It's absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. The money relationship is the one relationship that never ends. You don't fix it and then you're done. You have it's an active relationship. It's an active relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff. Again, we've had the pleasure here of speaking with Bob Wheeler, CPA out in the great state of California, Los Angeles. He is the author of The Money Nerve. Check it out at themoneynerve.com. You can also find it on amazon.com. Bob Wheeler, thank you so much, man, for taking time out of your schedule. It has been an awesome ride with you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share the word. So thanks again.
All right, Bob. Thanks again, man.
All right. Take care.
Take care. So there you go. There's our interview. That was Bob Wheeler, author of The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. Check it out at themoneynerve.com, also available on amazon.com. We just scratched the surface. I mean, this book is just packed with actionable items that, listen, anyone can take. It's a great read, like I said, for myself. I'm a pretty slow reader, admittedly, and I read through this thing in about two and a half hours. I couldn't put it down, and I'll be going back and revisiting it, but personally walked away with some great nuggets, and if you thought today's interview was great, wait till you read his book. Again, this is Chuck Morrison from MakingMountainsMove.com. We're going to be doing a lot more interviews just with some awesome people, much like Bob Wheeler, not just to inspire you, not just to motivate you, but to help you get into action. That's the name of the game. So with that said, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. It's time to get out there, get after it, and make those mountains move.